This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. My guests this morning, yes, I have two of them, and they're both state auditors, John Garagosian and also Craig Miner. We'll bring them on one at a time, and we'll get into a conversation about what their office does and maybe some of the cases that they've been working on recently. John Garagosian, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Thank you for joining. And Craig Miner as well, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Glad to join you.
I don't know who wants to take this first, but I'm looking for just a basic overview of what it is your office does. It's very important as far as keeping Connecticut's spending on track and responsible. And I guess that's, in a nutshell, what really happens in your office. But I'm sure that there's more to it, and you guys could give us a better perspective of some of your office's functions.
Well, I think the first thing that's unique about our office, it's the only bipartisan audit office in the country. And in many ways, it lends a lot of credibility to the work our office issues. About half the state auditors around the country are elected. We are appointed by the respective legislative leaders. So we do about five things. The audits, we audit every state agency in a, what is called a compliance audit to determine whether they're following their policies, state law, state accounting policies, and the like. We also do an audit on behalf of the federal government called the Federal Single Audit that we issue every March, and that looks at major federal programs and whether they're adhering to the federal standards and requirements. We also do financial auditing of the state's accounting, as well as the University of Connecticut and University of Connecticut Health Center. We have a small unit that does performance audits to determine whether programs are efficient and effective and recommend improvements to those programs. And lastly, we do information technology audits, and those are looking at state systems under the NIST standards. We also handle whistleblower complaints from anybody in the public or state employees and the like, and report the review, our reviews to the Attorney General.
As far as the Connecticut Auditor's Office is concerned, I know that other agencies, you mentioned the DOT, we talked about the universities earlier, many of these agencies, if not all of them, I would imagine, but I don't know that for sure, but many of these agencies have their own fiscal departments and fiscal administration and their own auditors. Do they feed that information up to you guys at this higher state capital level? Do you work with any of those lower level auditing departments?
Many of our audit crews are housed at the agencies that they audit year round. For instance, at the Department of Social Services, we have at least 10 auditors there all the time. We have them at the University of Connecticut, University of Connecticut Health Center, the comptrollers, the treasurers, et cetera. So we have relationships with the internal audit auditors and finance people in those agencies. And again, we will look at their internal audits as part of our risk assessment purposes. If they've done an audit that finds an issue at a certain area or doesn't, it would inform us as we go about planning our own audits.
Now, you look at Washington, D.C., the Republicans and Democrats don't get along, and it would sound like in this case, a bipartisan auditor group, one from each side, would have to get along.
So we have 126 people in the agency. John and I occupy offices in the Capitol. We actually have a door between the two separate offices, which I think was purposefully done to ensure that we get along. And so our staff, I would tell you that I couldn't tell you which party our staff is with if you asked me. And they work collectively in, I would call it, a nonpartisan way to try and achieve the goals that you laid out in the beginning, even though we have no authority to demand that someone change the way they're doing what they're doing if it's inappropriate. You know, John talked about do they work within the policies of the agency, or do we end up after a period of time of looking at information, do we create a finding that says someone is not living within their policy or not living within their spending or not following guidelines? We don't have the statutory authority to actually go in and physically require them to do something. That's the legislature's job and the governor's job. And if I had to guess at what's the most frustrating part for the 120 some odd people that we work with, some of these findings go on for generations, or at least a generation, and administrations don't seem convinced to want to change anything.
I'm actually glad that you gave that explanation there, Craig, and I'm speaking on Face Connecticut this morning with both of the state auditors, John Garagosian and also Craig Miner, because I'm drawn to the report that was issued earlier this year at the end of January on, it was a special review on the Connecticut State Colleges and Universities Executive Leadership Spending, and it was a big report about who spends what, how they're spending that money. But there was nothing that your office did to hold anybody accountable. You just went out and found whatever you could find. You put it in a report, and you passed it along to state officials who then did what they could do with that information, whatever they wanted to do with that information.
John and I are probably on the same page. That was a special request. There were actually two audits done in that regard. And I know that, you know, we participated in a hearing, and there was a discussion about what was done within the regulations, the rules that the college system operates under, and what wasn't done. But we don't have any mechanism to force anybody to either remove an individual or require them to do anything different. I think there is legislation on point that may require more updated internal evaluations done of that kind of spending, instead of letting it get away for years.
So in an audit like that, I'm looking at recommendation number one, just for instance, and this is just more or less a general conversation here, but it says that Connecticut State Colleges and Universities should update its purchasing card policy and procedure manual to specify guidelines for senior leadership, including the chancellor. So in other words, what you're doing here is you're going through the rules, you're looking at the rules, you're evaluating what he spent on, and this is just related to this particular case, but you're following the procedural manual and seeing if certain check marks were put in certain check boxes and things like that. So you guys were basically dotting I's, crossing T's based on what the manual told you to do. So you're just following the law, the rules as they're written.
Exactly, and that's what we did in this case. I think the specific issue with this is the he was recently named chancellor a few years ago, and they didn't update the policy to apply it to the chancellor. They had applied it to the college presidents, but that's the kind of thing. You know, we're always measuring against an agency's policy, against the state rules and regulations. So, you know, in this case, they can create a policy, any policy they want to, but we were measuring against their policy and they fell short.
These special audits, like what you guys did earlier this year into the chancellor's spending and the state's higher ed department university system, are those rare? I mean, this one got a lot of attention in particular, or are there more than the public would think?
We don't do them very often. The most notable ones in recent years is we did one related to the issues with the lottery, former lottery president and the security director there. And we did one recently a few years ago related to the Sandy Hook funds that went to the AFL-CIO's office and issues with that. But they don't happen all the time. Most of what you see in the stories around the state are audits of state agencies, which we're required to do every 2 years.
State Auditor John Garagosian and also State Auditor Craig Miner, happy to have them on the show this morning. I wanted to shift to talk about the budget this year a little bit. I hear a lot of estimates and projections coming from OPM. The lawmakers are talking a lot about the budget this year, which is due by June 4th, the end of the legislative session. It's expected that the budget could go up for a vote at the end of this week. And this year in particular, there's been a lot of scrutiny on state spending, where money should go, debate about what's going to come out of Washington or what isn't going to come out of Washington. Is your office at all involved in this process?
We don't get involved in the budget deliberations. People may actually refer to work that was done in years past to try and determine whether some of the assumptions that are being made might be in line. I know recently there was a kind of a revelation that came out about some interest that was earned from some of the ARPA grants that were invested in savings accounts that actually generated revenue of about $300 million. And somebody had asked, you know, why wasn't this something that was disclosed by the auditors? And the truth of the matter is it wasn't realized, meaning no one asked for that realized until this past year. And that would be in our audit that will come up in the next year. So, I'm sure people do assume that we do work for the budget process, but we always look in the rearview mirror. In some cases, it's years in the past. But in the area of federal revenue, as John said, we do a single audit work, and I don't, you know, those are hundreds and billions of dollars, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, and who knows what they're going to find.
We do have our own budget that we advocate on behalf of. And, this session especially.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
There's a new government oversight committee, and we are finding ourselves being asked to do a tremendous amount of new things. We appreciate that people appreciate the work of the office, but it's always for us. It's a resource issue.
I find it very interesting. There is a recent report out on a state agency, the Connecticut Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and this is just more or less another example of some of the recent work that your office has been up to, and it has found that it couldn't produce evidence of over $64,000 worth of goods and services. This is purchased through DMAS, and that's paid for with taxpayer funds, and some of the findings includes that DMAS didn't obtain pre-approval for 18 transactions totaling a little over $29,000. There were 4 transactions that appeared to have been intentionally split to avoid cardholder limits, and also a lack of documentation to support a number of transactions. I guess it's possible a receipt could get misplaced here or there, but is this unusual? Is this particular case strange or stand out to you?
They are sort of common findings. Not all agencies are created the same, though, obviously. An agency like DMIS has a lot more moving parts than, say, the Department of Insurance, which doesn't do a lot of grants to other agencies and the like. So, we're measuring against agency policy, state policy, and unfortunately they fell a little short in certain areas.
We're again looking back at a period of time in the case of audits that are maybe not right on 2020, but some of them are 2021, 2022. And if you may not be aware, but there were a number of executive orders that were bipartisan during the COVID time when there were procedures in place and executive orders that allowed certain activities to operate outside of those procedures. So, for instance, expenditures, contracts, a whole host of things, whether you could actually pay for something before you took delivery of it. I mean, if we operated under the scenario of we have to have the truckload of masks show up at the Department of Public Health before we can actually write a check, we never would have gotten a mask. They would have gone everywhere else but Connecticut because that's not how the world was operating. And so if I think about where we were during 2020 and where we are now, I would say that we need to do some work in the state to get back to the way the policies used to be. And to your point about purchasing, I think some of those are habits that may have been relaxed that need to be tightened back up. And that really falls to the governor. And it'll be important to see whether the governor takes seriously some of these repeat findings or not.
I want to ask you guys about technology here, and I'm speaking on Face Connecticut with both of the state auditors. For anybody who's joining me now, John Garagosian and Craig Miner, those are the two bipartisan state auditors in Connecticut working at the Capitol and checking to see how spending is being done in Connecticut and if people are being responsible with that and then reporting those findings onward wherever they need to go. But my question on technology is this. I remember hearing a number of years ago, this is probably pushing almost 10 years ago, that there were some agencies, they would have paper timesheets, and then they'd go to the payroll office, and then they'd be entered into a computer system. And then that had changed in some departments in some areas. And I guess that this is all depending on where you're working within state government, because one sector of it might be different than the next or another one. But, you know, is there a widespread, like, payroll responsibility? Is it all on the computer now? Because it would seem to be just terribly laborious, number one, but also an area for mistakes to happen.
I think there's been a lot of improvements in that area. I know I personally put in my own timesheets into CORE from my desk. The issues were at certain places like the Department of Correction years ago, where the corrections officers didn't necessarily have computers and things like that. And I think many of those issues have been resolved. But certainly technology has become a big part of everything that we do. And they're making improvements. Now, in the last year or two, they've done some centralization within the Department of Administrative Services on certain functions. And one of the areas we've had issues we've had in the past with the there were sort of small smart agencies that DAS served is oftentimes we get finger pointing between the agency, the primary agency, and DAS over whose responsibility it is. And that's something we're going to have to look at going forward and have more clear delineation of who the responsibilities of each of the agencies.
I would agree with John that I think statewide it's gotten better. And I think there's still some outliers where it's a little more difficult to do everything with a centralized database. But I do think that agencies are slowly moving in that direction. Again, I think the COVID probably set back the state of Connecticut a little bit in that regard. But I do think they are getting better. Most of the errors that we find seem to be situations, especially with payroll, seem to be situations where they're kind of a one-off. And John and I have talked about this for a while. And so in a circumstance where there have been ongoing payments made to an employee that we have found that are inappropriate, it would have been better if the system was designed so you had to actually override the system each time manually instead of just letting it run. And if you had to override it every 2 weeks to generate another $2,300 check to someone that shouldn't have gotten it, more likely that you would begin to ask questions. And so there's things like that that probably should still be done that I'm not aware have been done in the CORE system, but that would be helpful as well.
As technology changes, John and Craig, and we talked about that for just a little bit in the last minute or two here, my question is, in our final moments together, because the conversation's just flying by this morning on Face Connecticut, my final question is there anything that your department could use that you think would, I don't know if reinvent the way you guys do things is the proper term, but help you guys do what you do? I mean, the basic practice of auditing probably has been the same for a long time, but technology might make it easier, more efficient, more effective for you and your teams. So is there anything that you guys are pushing for at the Capitol that you're hoping might improve your processes within the agency?
Well, like the rest of the world, technology is changing all of our jobs. And the ability to look at large data sets using data analytics and in the future artificial intelligence has come to our world. We generally look at samples of transactions. The ability to use data analytics allows us to look at all transactions. And we've internally just developed a dashboard where you can kind of track agency spending by account number. And it makes it easier for our auditors as they're doing risk assessment. When they go in to do an audit, they look and try to see where they think areas they may want to look at more closely. And this is a powerful tool for us. Now, of course, there's also entities out there trying to sell us all kinds of software solutions. As of now, we're doing a lot of in-house and things have changed. I've been state auditor for about 14 years, and when I first started, everything was on paper. Now we have no paper, no printed reports. Everything's done electronically, and everything's done on our software that is internally housed.
As John said, we are moving toward technology to help us try and slice and dice things. But it's important, especially for newcomers like me, to understand that there's no replacement for a pair of eyes from a human being when it comes to analyzing some of that data. As a for instance, if in DOT, if they get an additional payment for boots once a year, and our computer system spits out all those boot payments, and someone says, aha, we found an overexpenditure. That's not likely the case. What's likely the case is their contract allows them that kind of a reimbursement. And so there's a lot of data that can be sliced and diced, and we think it's critically important in an effort to maintain our integrity and the integrity of the agency and the employees to be sure that when something hits the street, when we actually come out with a document, that it's as absolutely accurate as possible. And so while there might be speed created by that technology, we still believe that it's very important to understand how that number got there, what the purpose is, and is it something that's appropriate or not before we make a claim.
Well, this has been a very fascinating conversation, and I appreciate you both, John and Craig, for your time. Kind of an introductory conversation here, but I hope we have one that's more in-depth, maybe on another issue or another agency at another point in time. Is there anything else that you guys would like to mention?
No, we appreciate the time. Certainly an opportunity to share with the public what the office does and doesn't do, I think is a good public service, and we look forward to, or at least I look forward to anyway, the next opportunity for a conversation.
As do I. Thanks for having us.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.